So open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation chapter 19 in your Scofield Bible, page 1348. We'll be reading the first six verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. And we'll do so as we stand. Let's stand, please. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And let's pray. Father, we're thankful for these sermons on Sunday evenings that give us an insight into that place that you're preparing for us. Thank you for that. But thank you for the privilege of being a part of the work here, a work which gives many, many opportunities for us to reach people who ought to be reached and who likewise should be privileged to share that place with us someday. Grant thy power and blessing in our midst this evening, and give, we pray, a sweet spirit in this place, and give our preacher all that he needs to be all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. I pray that you'd help me as I preach it to be what our people need tonight. Thank you for the land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Bless our discussion about that wonderful place tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Blessing of music is a vital part of the Christian religion. We make much of music here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, though we never allow music to take the place of preaching. If we ever have, and we do have, a special cantata on Christmas or some special musical program, it does not preempt the preaching service. But the blessing of music is a very vital part in the Christian religion. One entire book of the Bible is composed of 150 different songs. A victory was almost always followed by singing. Moses' song of redemption after they had crossed the mighty waters of the Red Sea. At the defeat of Sisera, they sang a song of victory. Returning from Babylonian captivity, they sang songs of victory. Every revival that's mentioned in the Bible, all the revivals, have included in them music. In the upper room, after our Lord had washed the feet of the disciples, after he had quoted to them that wonderful passage in John chapter 14, Let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me, and following. Bible says that after they had taken the supper, the Last Supper, it says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Just as one entire book of the Bible is composed of songs, likewise, one entire book of the Bible is a song. the Song of Solomon. When we are commanded in Ephesians chapter 5:18, and nothing quite shows how important music is as Ephesians 5:18 and 19, when God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, He immediately starts talking about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Because nobody is ever filled with the Holy Spirit that does not have a song in his heart and on his lips. It bothers me greatly when people sit in church during congregational song and don't sing. That bothers me. I don't think you're happy. In fact, I know you're not happy. Happiness is always followed or surrounded by music. The Jews were known as a singing people. In fact, when they went to captivity for 70 years, the Babylonian people wanted them to sing and says they required of us a song. And the Jews said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They said, we've heard about your singing. The Jews were a singing people. The Passover and the Feast of Pentecost were concluded. Are you listening to me? Were concluded by the singing of Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 and Psalm 115 and Psalm 116 and Psalm 117 and Psalm 118. I have no doubt in my mind, but that's what they sang when Jesus had instituted the Last Supper. Because it says they had sung a hymn. I think they sang the usual songs that were sung at the Passover, at the closing of the Passover, Psalms 113 through 118. The themes of these psalms were coming out of Egypt, the division of the Red Sea, the parting of the waters, and the resurrection from the dead. That, as I said a while ago, is no doubt what they sang in the upper room. So it is not surprising that music has a great part in heaven. You folks that don't sing congregational singing, if you're going there, and I wonder if you are, if you're going there, I wonder how much you'll enjoy heaven. You sit there while somebody gets saved, poker look on your face, looking around, trying to see what who's wearing. You never join in the singing. You never praise God. You don't do a single thing they do in heaven. You're going to be a bored person in heaven. But thank God I won't have to look at you while I preach up there. Let's take a few glimpses tonight into heaven and discuss its music. Of course, as I said last Sunday night in Zephaniah chapter 3, I think it's verse 17, Jesus Himself will sing over us in heaven. It says, He will joy over us with singing, and we'll hear the voice of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is very interesting, when the Apostle Paul was caught up into heaven, the Bible says he came back and he didn't tell us a thing about what he saw, but it doesn't say that he saw things unlawful to utter. It says he heard things unlawful to utter. Doesn't say a thing about what he saw in the third heaven. It only speaks about what he heard. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it talks about a congregational singing time. And it says that every Christian who has ever lived will join in that congregational singing. It'll be good to see some of you finally join in congregational singing. But anyway, if you're going to be there. But, every Christian, Revelation 5:9, the Bible says you'll sing a new song. Now, why a new song? Well, most of the old songs can't be sung. We can't sing anymore, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He's prepared for us a place called we'll be there then. We can't sing on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast the wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Because what the author meant when he said that, he's talking about heaven. We'll already be there then. We can't sing it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Praise God. We'll be looking at Him all the time then.
We can't sing, "Yield not to temptation." There won't be any temptation there. We can't sing, "There's a land that is fairer than day." And by faith we can see it afar, because it won't be far. We'll be right there in the land. We can't sing in the sweet by and by. We'll sing in the precious now and now then, because we'll be in heaven. We can't sing then, "Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak shadows all one," because we'll already be in the presence of Christ Himself. We can't sing, "And I shall see Him face to face," and tell the story saved by grace, because I'll see Him every day face to face then. We can't sing, "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank Him for His saving grace," because we will be seeing Him then. We can't sing, "Oh, they tell me of a land of an unclouded day." We'll be in the land of the unclouded day. We can't sing, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care." We won't have to pray then. Just go see Him and talk to Him then. We can't sing, "Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer," because we will already have done that then. We'll already have taken our flight to heaven, and we'll already have done that then. I'm simply saying that we can't sing in those days the songs we sing now. So the Bible says can you imagine every Christian who's ever lived singing together at one time? Huh? Maybe we'll sing, "We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Maybe we'll sing, "All the multiplied millions and hundreds of millions of believers." Maybe we'll sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown Him as Lord of all." But we'll sing, all believers together. We'll have congregational singing time. And we Southern folks up in heaven will have a singing. Old-fashioned Sunday afternoon singing. Every once in a while. You Yankees don't know anything about singings. Hey, because you don't pronounce English language like they did when they landed on the Mayflower. But I'm simply saying, all believers. And then the Bible says that in Revelation 14 and verse 3, there are going to be 144,000 people that will be uniquely saved out of the tribulation period. And the Bible says they'll sing a new song also. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says that we'll sing the song of Moses. That song was given in Exodus chapter 15 after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And it says, we'll sing the song of the Lamb. And that song of the Lamb is what they sang at the end of the Passover and the Pentecost feast. And what Jesus, I think, sang at the end of the Last Supper, Psalms 113 through 118. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 says there'll be an angelic choir. Now get this. Over 104 million angels will sing at one time. It says 10,000 times 10,000. That's a million. 100 million. And it says thousands times thousands. If it's 2,000, it's at least 2,000 times 2,000. And so the congregation will be of all the believers who've ever lived. And the choir will be at least 104 million people. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I can't wait. This is what heaven singing is all about. Now, what is the theme of heaven singing? The theme of heaven singing, and we'll not turn to it, but you find it in Revelation chapter 19. There are four times in Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, that the word hallelujah is mentioned. Now, every once in a while, somebody here will jump up and say, "Hallelujah!" And some of you Pharisees will say, "He shouldn't say that." Well, in heaven, you're going to jump up and say, "Hallelujah!" also. If you're Polish, it'll be Halleluski, and if you're from the South, it'll be Hallelujah, But I'm trying to tell you that it's just commonplace up in heaven. Now, four times you have the word hallelujah there, Revelation chapter 19, and the Bible said that these hallelujahs are in heaven. Now, these four hallelujahs represent the four things the themes about which we'll sing in heaven. I'll not turn to it, and I'll not read it with you or to you, but I want to tell you what these four hallelujahs are. The first hallelujah is, hallelujah, Christ saveth. And we'll sing in heaven, hallelujah, Christ saveth. I'll walk by the mercy seat. I may go by several times a day. By the mercy seat. And I'll see the blood that was shed on Calvary there on that mercy seat. And I'll just say, well, hallelujah, Christ saveth. I'll ask to take a look at the book of life. And I'll be able to do that. And I'll get that book, open that book, and I'll go to the H's, and down toward the end of the H's, I'll see my name, Jack Fraser Hiles, and I'll say, well, hallelujah, Christ saveth. And all, look, folks, it'll all be over then. Won't be any calls to the doctor. Won't be any hospital visits. Won't be any surgeries. I won't have to wear this stupid truss anymore for my hernia. Well, I'm sorry, it's a hysnia. I don't have hernias out of hysnia. And my favorite song is Trust and Obey. But I'm simply saying that we won't have any sickness then. And we won't have any work to worry about death then. And we won't fight the grim reaper then. And then our salvation is complete. And we'll sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ save us. And then I'll go look at Jesus' hands and His feet. I'll see those wounds in His hands and feet. And we'll sing, hallelujah, Christ saveth. And then I'll go to a mirror and look at my new body. This old one's not so bad. But I'll go to a mirror and look at my new body. And I'll say, good night. I thought that's Jesus. Therefore, I looked in that mirror. And I'll look at my body. My hands will never tremble. My feet will never waver. My back will never get weary. My eyes will never get sleepy. I'll never feel pain or sorrow. And my salvation has been complete. I was saved. My soul was saved when I trusted Jesus. My life was saved as I grew in grace. And then my body will be saved. I'll not have any pain. And I'll say, well, hallelujah, Christ saved. And then I'll walk down the street and notice what's not there. I'll notice what's not in heaven. And I'll say, hallelujah, Christ saveth. And then I'll look at the brazen altar. And I don't know if this is true, but I think it is. I personally think that the cross of Calvary will be in heaven. The brazen altar is going to be there where they offered the lamb in the Old Testament. Why shouldn't Calvary be there where they offered the lamb in the New Testament? And boy, I'll look at that cross and I'll sing, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I'm happy all the day. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross, the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was saved. And I'll look at the cross and say, hallelujah, 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 Christ saveth. I don't know why you folks that are excited, getting excited. You folks out here not excited, I'm with you. I mean, why get excited just because you're going to go to heaven and live forever? That's sort of dumb to get excited just because you're not going to be sick anymore someday. That's sort of stupid to get excited because you're going to walk down golden streets and through gates of pearl. I'm with you deadheads. I think these folks are crazy to get excited just because they'll go to a place where they'll never die and never get sick and never suffer, never have pain, never have sorrow, never shed a tear. Why, I think they're sort of dumb myself. I'm with you deadheads that are sitting there right now criticizing all these folks that are getting happy. But I'll tell you what you'll do, Buster. When you get to heaven, you'll sing, hallelujah, Christ save us. Hallelujah, Christ save us. I'll look at His wounded brow and say, hallelujah, Christ save us. I'll listen to Zacchaeus' testimony. As he says, I was up a tree. I'd seen Jesus once before down in the house of Matthew. I heard he was going to come down a road close to Jericho. And I wanted to see him. I went down. I was a little short fella. I went down. I couldn't see him because the press. Press is always getting in the way. I couldn't see him because the press was there. And so I decided to go in the house and go up to the second floor. But it was all the windows were filled. I went over on top of the house, and it was all full up there. I couldn't see. And Zacchaeus said, though I was the director of Internal Revenue, I still had to see him. I climbed up a sycamore tree, and I saw Jesus come down. When I saw him, I felt conviction. And Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today. He came to my house. I trusted him. My wife trusted him. My son trusted him. My daughter trusted him. My whole family trusted him. And heaven will sing, Hallelujah, Christ Savior. A little woman, she sang about it a while ago, will come and say, I went down to get some water one day at a well in Sychar. And the strangest man I ever saw was there at that well. I went down to get some water from a tummy, and I got some water from a soul. And I went down to get water that you can thirst from again. And this guy told me he was in the water business too. And he said, if you'll drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. And she said, I took a drink of his water. I got saved. I went downtown, told all those men I'd sold my body to, what had happened to me. And the talk of the town, that whore got saved. That whore got saved. That harlot got saved. That prostitute got saved. And all those men came out, and they got saved too. And I want to thank God I'm here in heaven, and we'll sing together, Hallelujah, Christ Savior. Mary Magdalene will tell how she is possessed of seven devils. And how that Jesus came one day and delivered her. And how that she, who was a demon-possessed woman, became a Jesus-possessed woman. And will sing, Hallelujah, Christ saveth. Charles Spurgeon will tell how he was a 15-year-old boy going to church one day looking for something. He didn't know what. Was going to a Methodist church, went through a rainstorm, or going to a church, went through a snowstorm rather, and couldn't get there. Had to stop off at another church. The preacher couldn't get there because of the storm. 15 people got there. And a board member, a deacon, stood up and filled the pulpit and didn't know what to preach about. So he just preached about, look unto Jesus and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And he said, hey, young man back there, look unto Jesus and be saved. And the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved. He'll tell us about it in heaven. And we'll say, Hallelujah, Christ save us. Hey, don't ever get used to the fact that you're a child of God. Don't ever get used to the fact that your sins are washed away. What is the theme of heaven? Hallelujah. Christ saveth. The thief on the cross, I want to hear his testimony. He'll stand up and say, whew. I barely made it. Man, I tell you what. I was there on that cross, and my number was up. I mean, my ticket was punched. I mean, I already was on my way to hell. I could see the fires. All of a sudden, I looked up and I said, I believe that's the Messiah. I love what he said. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, dear Lord, when you rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, don't forget me. Jesus said, 1,000 years, nothing. How about right now? He said, I'm on the way to paradise right now. Come on and go with me. I'd like to have some company on the way. And I got saved there on the cross. And we'll sing, Hallelujah, Christ Savior. Now there's a second Hallelujah here. And that's the Hallelujah. And though we'll not turn to it, it's the Hallelujah in verse 3. I love this one. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. The second theme of our singing is Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. Listen carefully. He's talking about the judgment of the great whore. Now, I'm going to be very frank here, and if you get mad, you go right ahead. The great whore is nothing more than the Catholic Church. You say, I don't think you ought to have said that, then don't ever do it. From that great whore came a bunch of little daughters of the harlot. There came Protestantism out. Now, one of these days, they're going back to the mother right now. They're going to have a family reunion, and they're going back to mama. And they're going to have a world church in those days. And you check your Bible, you'll find it'll be centered in the city of Rome. And just as there's an ecclesiastical union that's headquartered in Rome, there'll be a political union headquartered in Rome that'll be something like what now is the United Nations. So you'll have the National Council of Churches headed up by the false prophet, and the United Nations headed up with the Antichrist. And these false religions have been making fun of us all the time. They've been saying those crazy nuts. They don't have any love down at First Baptist Church. There's more love in that microphone than there is the whole United Nations. There's more love in that microphone than the whole National Council of Churches. There's more love in that microphone right there than every liberal preacher in this country. Well, we're going to find out who's right one of these days. Old Hiles down there, he's not real. Okay, we're going to find out who's real. We're going to find out because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 3 that the great whore will be judged. And we'll sing hallelujah. Christ judges. Hallelujah. No more confessional booths. Hallelujah. No more baby sprinkling. Hallelujah. No more National Council of Churches. Hallelujah. No more Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Hallelujah. No more NIV version. Hallelujah. No more Living Bible. Hallelujah. No more Goodspeed Bible. Hallelujah. No more American Standard Bible. Hallelujah. No more Revised American Standard Bible. Hallelujah. No more New King James Version of the Bible. Hallelujah. No more New Scofield Version. Hallelujah. No more American Standard Version of the Bible. Hallelujah. No more American Bible Society Version. Hallelujah. No more Reader's Digest Condensed Version. Hallelujah. No more Douay Version of the Bible. Hallelujah. No more Amplified Version. Hallelujah. No more Moffat's Version of the Bible. Or Scott's Version either. Or Vogel's Version. Or Gonzalez's Version. Rodriguez, every Mexican I know has got one of those two names. Brother, you just wait. Don't you tell me tonight that a bunch of Christians that don't love God enough are religious people. Say there's been, listen to me while I'm preaching. Don't you tell me a bunch of folks don't love God enough to have a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service. Don't you tell me they're the true religion and we're the false religion. Don't you tell me people that wouldn't knock on one door to invite folks to come to church is the true religion when folks are knocking on doors and trying to get people out of hell. Don't you tell me people that don't believe this Bible are the true religion. The old-fashioned, old-time religion, blood-washed, blood-bought, redeemed children of God. One day we will be acclaimed the true churches. And we'll sing, hallelujah, Christ judgeth. I know what some of you are saying. I'm not coming back anymore. Good. We need the space. No more Hare Krishnas at the airport. I was at the Washington, D.C. airport. They wanted to sell me a bunch of, or give me a bunch of a rose. Everywhere I went, one of those guys, I went down, there's a flower shop in that airport. I bought me 2 dozen roses. I went to every Hare Krishna. I hid my roses and I took theirs and let them explain their book. Then I went and bought me a couple of dozen roses and went to every one of them and I gave them a rose. I said, now you let me explain my book. I pulled out the old King James Bible and gave them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Christ judging. No more Jehovah Witnesses knocking on your door. Hallelujah, Christ judging. No more baptismal regeneration crowd. Hallelujah, Christ judges. No more Pope posing as the vicar of God. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. No more clergyman changing or claiming to absolve your sin. No more John MacArthur's bloodless gospel. No more evolutionists. No more gay churches. No more sacraments. No more New Age movement. When we see all these people that have called us fanatics and fools, and we see the whole thing cast into hell, and we shall be received by Jesus, we'll say, hallelujah, Christ saveth, and hallelujah, Christ judgeth. No more liberal colleges. No more liberal seminaries. No more churches having bingo games. No more United Nations. No more charismatic suggesting you can earn it or lose it. No more liberal ministerial associations. No more ecumenical movements. No more liberal politicians. No more communism. No more socialism. No more humanism. No more Mary worship. No more confirmation. No more rosaries. No more mass. No more Vatican. Hallelujah! Christ judges. The great whore. False religion will be judged. I said it will be judged. And what you better do is you better quit trying to find a church of your choice and find a church that believes that old King James Bible and preaches against sin and gets people saved. If this is not your choice of a church, join it anyhow. It's his choice. Hallelujah, Christ. Judge it. No more indulgences. No more absolutions. No more liberal Supreme Court. No more religious rock music. No more prayer beads. No more ecumenical thanksgiving services. No more crucifixes. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. No more hyper-Calvinism. No more liberal bookstores disguised under the word Christian. Saying, take your choice of whatever Bible you want as long as you can pad our coffers. I've got more respect for atheists than I have these Christian bookstores that let you that'll peddle every kind of a false Bible under the sun. Thank God Christ judgeth. No more anthems in the place of gospel music. No more so-called Christian TV stations. No more Lordship Salvation. No more lifestyle evangelism preaching. No more prayer beads or prayer books. No more statues in the churches. No more teachers and preachers denouncing the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Christ saveth. Hallelujah! Christ judgeth. No more Sistine Chapel. No more St. Peter's Basilica. No more College of Cardinals or Cubs or White Sox or Yankees. And by the way, the College of Cubs is just as good as the College of Cardinals.
I'll get it.
He had to pick it up way over something. No more ex-cathedra speaking. No more pope handing down a bunch of a bull. No more babies murdered in the womb. The little children shall return to their harlot mother. And they're looking more like her every day. Every single one of these great Protestant denominations came out of the mother of harlots, and they came out aflame with the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. But they have deteriorated and decayed till they like the mother. They may as well go back to her, and they will. And she will be judged. And God's redeemed, blood-washed people will sing, Hallelujah! Christ saveth. Hallelujah! Christ judgeth. No more church bingo parties. No more Lenten seasons. No more Good Fridays. No more teaching on purgatory. No more religious power of positive thinking. No more ecumenical sunrise service on Easter Sunday. The tares and liberals and false teachers will be exposed. Along with the people sitting here right now who are members of this church, you've not been born again. Everybody who professes Christianity, who's not been born again, will be a part of this great whore. And Revelation chapter 19 has four hallelujahs. One, hallelujah, Christ saveth. Two, hallelujah, Christ judgeth. Three, hallelujah, Christ cometh. In heaven, we'll look forward to that day when the trumpet shall sound. In heaven, those in heaven right now look forward to that day when their bodies that were buried in the grave shall rise in the air. And their spirits in heaven shall re-inhabit their bodies. They look forward to Jesus coming and receiving their bodies. They look forward to the marriage of the Lamb. They look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. They look forward to the second coming of Christ coming back to earth on white horses. And heaven's theme, music theme, hallelujah, Christ saveth. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. And hallelujah, Christ cometh. Number four. Verse number six, it says, hallelujah, Christ reigneth. What's the theme of heaven's song? Amen, 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 amen. Nothing like that, brother. Nothing like that. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Oh, they'll be singing that in hell. We'll be singing, hallelujah, Christ saveth. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. Hallelujah, Christ cometh. And hallelujah, Christ reigneth. When Jesus comes back again, here will be the events. It'll start according to Revelation 37, 38, and 39. Especially 38 and 39. It'll start with Russia marching on little Palestine. With Russia will be Iran and Libya and Eastern Germany and Turkey. And these nations will come on little Palestine because of her wealth. The massive wealth in the bottom of the Dead Sea, which has not been tapped yet. And Russia, with their allies, will come from the north. And they'll attack little Palestine. When Russia comes from the north with Turkey, Libya, Iran, and Eastern Germany, then the Western powers will say, you're not going to get the wealth of the land. You see, America is not trying to use our army in Haiti unselfishly. We're not trying to liberate the Haitian people. We're trying to take care of our financial involvements there. And America will look and see Russia coming down along with Libya and Turkey and Iran and Eastern Germany on little Palestine. And the Western nations under America, Western Europe, will say, you're not going to do that. And the Western nations will come over, headed up by a great, powerful leader. And they'll fight with Russia there on the mountains of Palestine. And the Western nations will defeat Russia. Russia needs help. So over here in the east, you got China and Japan. And they'll come marching toward Palestine to join with Russia in fighting the Western powers. But there's the Euphrates River, which is the eastern boundary of Palestine. In the Bible. Not now, but in the Bible. And the Euphrates River will be dried up. And the armies of the sun rising, Japan and China, will come over on the dry, just like the Red Sea was parted. And now you've got Russia coming, and Libya, and Turkey, and Iran, Eastern Germany, and Japan, and China, all on Palestine. You've got the nations of the West, basically, the common market nations, the revived Roman Empire nations, headed up by America, and they'll come and fight. And a war will take place, the last war, that'll make World War II look like a plaything, a toy war. And then the Western powers will defeat Russia, and defeat Turkey, and defeat Iran, and defeat Eastern Germany, and defeat the powers of Japan, and the powers of China. And the Western forces will win. Russia's not going to conquer this world. The Western powers are going to conquer this world. And then the Antichrist, who is on the Western side, will step up. And he'll say, I am the ruler of the world. I've conquered the South. I've conquered the West. I've conquered the East. I've conquered the North.
I am ruler of the whole world. He looks east, he looks west, he looks north, he looks south. But there's one place he forgets to look. And that's us. And all of a sudden, he hears the galloping of horses coming from heaven. Looks up, and there I am on one of those horses. And out in front is King Jesus. He puts down the Antichrist, wins the Battle of Armageddon, stands on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives cleaves in twain. A fresh water flows down toward the Dead Sea and makes it alive again. We're fish in the Dead Sea. And Jesus ascends Mount Zion, and for 1,000 years he will rule and reign on the earth. That's one of the songs of heaven. Hallelujah! Christ saveth. Hallelujah! Christ judgeth. Hallelujah! Christ cometh. And hallelujah! Christ reigneth. I hope he'll sing it Wednesday at chapel. Dr. Curtis Hudson is going to come up, and if he possibly can, he's going to be at our chapel service at Howells Anderson College Wednesday. I preached at the closing message of the Sword of the Lord National Convention. When I got through preaching, he wanted to sing. I'd never heard him sing before. And Dr. Hudson stood up and he started singing, sort of hillbilly like, the song, "I'm on the Winning Side." I'm on the winning side. Hope he'll sing it. If he can sing it all Wednesday, hope he'll sing it. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. That's what they sing about in heaven. I'm on the winning side. Heaven is a place of music. Music that's built around the theme. Hallelujah, Christ saveth. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. Hallelujah, Christ cometh. And hallelujah, Christ reigneth. What a wonderful, wonderful future we have. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And those of you that need to, practice up for it. If you don't get happy here at church, that's okay. Get out in the woods somewhere and get happy. Go to the bathroom where nobody can see you. Flush the commode so they can't hear you. And say hallelujah. You say, "I'm not very demonstrative." Then whisper hallelujah. "Well, I'm timid." Then suck your thumb while you say hallelujah. But sort of practice up a little bit. I hate to see you embarrassed. I can see some of you right now. Old Colston, if he can wake up long enough in heaven, he'll jump up and say, "Hallelujah! Christ save us!" Old Hooker will stand up and say, "Hallelujah! I've got hair!" Old Ray Young will say, "Hallelujah, Christ judgeth." Ed Lapine will say, "Hallelujah, Christ cometh." And some of you will go, "Amen. Amen. Amen." Practice up. You don't have to do it here. If you don't want to do it here, don't do it here. Do it at home. Get out in the garage and practice up. But whatever you do, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I've heard of a place that's called heaven. Sweet home of the pure and the free. The haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope that beats in our breast. We can say tonight, hallelujah, Christ saveth. And for eternity we'll sing it. Hallelujah, Christ judgeth. True and the living God will reveal the true and the living saints. And all false religion shall be cast from the presence of God. Hallelujah, Christ cometh. And hallelujah, Christ reigneth.